We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game, where alongside Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. We hope you had a fabulous weekend. The MLB trade deadline is here, so this is going to be a baseball-heavy show. But that doesn't mean we're going to avoid the big drama unfolding at Raiders camp. What took place over the weekend in Santa Clara? What happened at Harrison Barnes' wedding? All of that and so much more coming up on today's show. Lo Neal is in Napa at Raider training camp. He's going to check in with us at 8:30. So we've brought in a couple ringers to help us get through the program. More on that in a bit. Dave Duncan at 7:30. Ken Korak at 7:45. Kevin Mitchell at 9:05, Bo Mel, the newest member of the 1,000 Win Club, at 9:30. We've also got $1,000 to give away at 7 a.m., $1,000 to give away at 8 a.m., Bay Bridge Series tickets, tomorrow night's game to give away at 7:20, at 8:20, and summer send-off tickets to give away at 8:45, Dibs.
Show's over. We're so stacked.
That's it. I don't even know who's coming up next. So you know what I was about to say.
You were about to say, let's hit the gym. let's go jump for joy. I believe we have Steiny back in the seat at 10 o'clock today. But so much to talk about. Baseball's trade deadline, football news, and more. It's going to be a fun one.
Stick with us throughout the day. We're going to be keeping a very close eye on the Sonny Gray situation. I think deep down some of us are hoping the A's fail to get a deal done, but that's not the betting favorite at the moment. So we've got you covered throughout the day. We're going to introduce our special guest in just a moment. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
And Joe, your non-waiver trade deadline is today at 1 o'clock. All eyes on Sonny Gray. Justin Verlander, Yu Darvish, Lance Lynn all could be dealt as well. Sonny Gray, by the way, scheduled to pitch the opener of the Bay Bridge Series tonight in Oakland. And the A's will come in with some momentum.
Deep right field, way back there. Walk off for Yonder Alonso.
Roxy Bernstein with the call here on 95.7 The Game. They get the walk-off victory 6-5 over the Twins. The dugout show 6:15 tonight. A's and Giants here on 95.7 The Game. The Giants will limp into Oakland after this.
3-2. Base hit down the right field line. Singer's going to come in to score. Turner getting the wave. Relay to the plate. Dodgers win it.
An apoplectic Dodgers Stadium, 3-2. LA beat San Francisco. Kyle Farmer drives in two with his first MLB plate appearance. Story number three, Raiders camp continuing without Donald Penn as he holds out for a new contract. The team is hoping for a quick resolution. And the team back on the practice field today, E.J. Manuel, Connor Cook said to be in a dead heat early in the race for the backup quarterback spot. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game.
Apoplectic.
Yeah, I kind of butchered it, but
No.
Should have scripted it.
No. It's very nice.
Didn't I have an extra app in there?
Not only am I going to give you credit for it, I'm going to bet you can't come up with a better word for any update at any point this week.
I'll work on it.
Let's see if you can beat apoplectic. Nice guy, Steven. Board op, you're in charge of that. Okay. Lo Neal in training camp. You can catch him today with Papa and Bonte noon to 3. He's going to join us at 8:30 from training camp for an update. So we dug down deep. We brought in some guests. Guest number one, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Guru, you're looking good. You're feeling good. I know you were hot on the Cowboys this morning, but I'm sorry. There will be no Cowboy discussion today on the program. You have a nice weekend?
Yeah, I did have a nice weekend, and I consider myself the first cousin of the program. So I'm with family right now, so I'm good. I'm ready to go.
It's great to have you here, too.
Let's get it.
You came in smiling. You came in with a ton of energy. Very impressive. To my right, making his 95.7 The Game debut, the infamous Butcher Boy joins us in studio.
Yeah.
Joe Shasky, how you doing?
Dude, I'm so fired up. Thank you guys for having me on, man.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Yeah. You don't have to worry about thanking us. Thank Dibs. He's been selling you. Everyone's very excited about having you on today.
Sell high, buy low.
Yeah, I got that one wrong, I'm afraid.
Yeah. I enjoy following you on Twitter because it's unrelenting. It's unrelenting in the sense that you're not going to pull any punches. You've got an opinion. You share the opinion. So I kind of tailored today's show to get you fired up on quite a bit. I want to begin with last night's 3-2 defeat at Chavez Ravine. Giants falling late with an opportunity to the Dodgers. This team and where they've reached at this point in the season, the floor is yours to an extent. You don't have to isolate it to one thing, but when you hear the talk that they feel they're only a few tweaks away and they want to compete next season, but they're 34 and a half out, do you think that's the right move for the front office?
No, it's not the right move. This Giants season is a complete disaster. There's no other way around it. They just got swept by the Dodgers, their longtime rival. Dodgers are probably having their best season in my lifetime, 35, 40 years. They got Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager. You're talking about young superstars. Meanwhile, the Giants have Buster Posey and a bunch of 230 hitters. And it's just really frustrating to watch this team had a chance to win all three games and lose all three in heartbreaking fashion. A kid comes up from the farm for the Dodgers, not only has his first major league at bat, but a game-winning double to beat the Giants and sweep us. It was really hard, especially on a Bumgarner day. You've been waiting for Bumgarner to get that win, come back from that big injury. It's just a really heartbreaking season for Giants fans.
I guess a bit of a silver lining is the fact that Bumgarner coming back from the injury has looked every bit as good as we remember. He was stellar last night against the most explosive lineup in baseball.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Bumgarner is the key to the franchise. Once he went down this year, the season's pretty much been a wash. I'm actually really concerned with Bumgarner going forward. Not so much that he has any injuries or anything right now, but if he were to sustain an injury in this season, it would be the final nail in the coffin of a 2017 season that's been a disaster. And if you look going forward, they need all these pieces to be healthy. Today's the trade deadline. Are they going to get rid of Cueto? Are they going to get rid of Samardzija? Are they going to get anything back in return? What are the Giants going to do? Because right now, the Dodgers are going for their fourth, fifth straight NL West title. It's dark days ahead for the Giants, and they got a high payroll, man.
The Dodgers lost Clayton Kershaw for an extended period. They're not missing a beat. They are 47-13 at home this season.
Wow.
They turned a franchise record 6 double plays last night. Johnny Cueto, Jeff Samardzija, Hunter Strickland. When it's all said and done, 1 p.m. today is the trade deadline, Dibs. Do you see any Giants on the move?
No, I don't. I think you've seen the only deal they're going to make, and you tipped it off 3 weeks ago when you brought us the quotes about Larry Bear saying that they expect to compete next year. That's all you have to know about their direction. Whether or not you agree with it, and I think most of us do not agree with the course of action, they've decided that one more year is merited by this group. And so you bring everybody back, you shell out the $170 million, whatever your payroll is going to be, close to $180, and you try one more time. But you look at what the Dodgers did to them and how much better they appear to be, and then 34-and-a-half game lead. And we're not even to August yet, Joe. They might win this division by 50 over the Giants. Think about that.
This is the farthest out of first place the San Francisco Giants have been since the final day of the 1946 season.
Wow.
1946 was the last time they found themselves this far out of first place. Guru, on the flip side, today's the day many A's fans have been dreading. Sonny Gray, rumored to be a hot target for the Yankees, rumored to be a potential target for the Dodgers. There are a lot of teams interested in both Sonny Gray and Yu Darvish, who the Texas Rangers are shopping. When we hit 1 p.m., Sonny Gray, still in Oakland Athletic?
Yeah, he'll still be in Oakland A.
Really?
He will be the face of the franchise heading into this new stadium whenever we do get that date. Right now, Sonny Gray has got his groove back. Forget Stella. Sonny's got his groove back. 3.42 ERA. And the biggest move for the A's is getting the old Sonny Gray, which this new Sonny Gray resembles. I thought Sonny was done. The velo was down. Now he looks like his old self. And you look at the young rotation the A's have, this could be the cornerstone guy to lead that rotation into the future if you want to compete. Now, if you can get a King's ransom from the Yankees, Frazier maybe, because the A's need an outfielder. Ricky Henderson, Tony Armas, Duane Murphy. Who's the next great A's outfielder? Find that guy if you're Oakland and Billy Beane. But if you can't, I think everything is okay when you say Sonny Gray is the ace of our staff moving forward, and he's giving you that on the bump. So I'm excited if he doesn't get moved.
Bay Bridge Series starts tonight. Four games, the first two of which will be played at the Coliseum. First pitch, 7.05 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. We've got tickets to tomorrow night's game to give away at 7.20 and 8.20 today on the program. Tonight, it's Matt Cain for the Giants. For Oakland, Dibs, you said it was supposed to be Sonny Gray?
Yes.
Gambling website I use. I know, stop traffic every now and again. I visit these things. They'll give you the pitching matchups next to the odds. And if they're not sure who the pitcher's going to be, they'll list it as undecided. Sometimes when it's still up in the air, they might even take the price off the board if they're unsure of what's going to happen. Paul Blackburn listed for the A's. Listed for the A's, and there is a price. The A's, surprisingly, a minus 140 favorite over Matt Cain and the Giants tonight. We've got more to get into with that and all the latest with the trade deadline coming up next. Sonny Gray, if he's on the move, who and when, how's it going to go down? Joe, Low, Dibs, Guru, Butcher Boy, minus Low, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Bradshaw, stabler back. Here comes the rush. He sidesteps. Can he throw? He can't. The ball flipped forward is loose. A wild scramble. 2 seconds on the clock. Casper grabbing the ball. It is ruled a fumble. Casper is recovered in the end zone. The Oakland Raiders have scored on the most seeming, unbelievable, absolutely impossible dream of a play.
Barry's got it. The ball game is over.
On. There's a high drive, hit way back, right center field, that one is gone, and it's 20 consecutive victories for the Oakland Athletics on an unbelievable night when they lost an 11-0 lead, and now they win it. Crazy, just plain crazy.
Joe Fortenbaugh, Dan Dibley, Daryl the Guru Johnson, and their Butcher Boy, getting you covered on trade deadline day through 10 a.m. Welcome to the program. Great to have you in. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Trade deadline discussion in just a couple minutes. Drama out of Napa at 6:30 and a little LeBron bashing at 6:45. But we begin this segment with the Hall of Fame and a tip of the cap and a salute to the great Bill King, who went into Cooperstown this weekend. Dibs, recipient of the Ford C. Frick Award.
And long overdue, quite frankly. And it's, I know it's only one a year, and there's so many great announcers throughout Major League Baseball historically, but this should have happened when Bill King was still alive, and it's disappointing that it didn't. And, you know, you see Bud Selig going in, they make sure they rush him in a different category, and that's all fine and good. But Bill King, one of the greatest to ever do it, and to think that he wasn't in any of the three halls of fame, even though he's one of the greatest, I think, in history at doing the three major sports. It's good that baseball finally recognized it. And tip of the cap to Ken Korak, who worked so hard to make this happen. Must have been a special weekend for Kenny to be a part of this.
And Ken set to join us today at 7:45 to talk about that, the trade deadline, and more. Butcher Boy, because Bill King goes in, from a Bay Area perspective, that's the headline, and that's what we focus on. But underneath that, the fact that Bud Selig got in, where does that land with you, knowing that he was the commissioner who presided over an era in which certain players are intentionally being left out?
Bud Selig getting into the Hall of Fame is an absolute joke. I mean, it really is. This guy presided over the game during the first work stoppage where the World Series was canceled, number one. He basically created this entire revenue sharing system where the small market teams would get welfare checks. And that totally put money in his pocket because he was the owner of the Milwaukee Brewers. And he transferred control over to his daughter. So I look at him as a crook. I really do. And the way he treated Barry Bonds during the entire record-setting season of chasing that home run record, everything about Bud getting in, to me, is an injustice. And I think it's a selective jurisprudence by not just the baseball writers, but just the national media in general, where we've decided to pick and choose who we like based on their personality. Pudge Rodriguez, Jeff Bagwell, were they great players? No doubt. They belong in the Hall of Fame. But you can't tell me that they belong in the Hall of Fame and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens don't. It's an absolute joke. At no point in either of their careers, in any day, were they half the player Barry Bonds was on the field, defensively, running the bases. It's crazy to me that we're celebrating Bud Selig and Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Pete Rose, all these other guys that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame in a place that's the museum. This is the history of the game. We're documenting the history of the sport. And you're just going to forget about these guys? I think it's asinine.
Butcher Boy, you're hot right now. And I don't know if Dibley didn't give you the memo, but this is Hot Tub Radio. We ease into the hot tub at 6 a.m. We don't come out with these scorching hot takes. And speaking of which, you, Guru, saying Sonny's not going to be traded today. That's a little too hot for 6:10 a.m., don't you think?
Yeah, but it's A's math. It's A's math in regard to A's fans have been victimized of having guys that they get attached to get traded. So the fact that the A's, if they're not overwhelmed with the package, the message to the fans is this is a different Oakland Athletic team. We have a different moniker in the front office. We're not going to give guys that can steal ball away. So if the A's are not overwhelmed, why not keep Sonny Gray? He's a fan favorite, Joe, and he's going to be the veteran of this young Oakland A's rotation. So I look at it like, you know what? The philosophy has changed in the front office. They didn't just give Sonny Gray away for a rock. They kept him because they valued him. And you look around when that day comes, fellas, and it's coming. When they announce when and where that new ballpark will be, Sonny Gray will be your ace. I can envision it now, getting the ball on opening day in this new park, and that's what it's about. Don't just, my dad always said, Norma Johnson, don't mistake activity for achievement. Don't just do a trade because it's the trade deadline. If you don't get overwhelmed, keep your asset. And your asset in this equation is one Sonny Gray.
Fair points. Great points. You got to make the deal. You know why? We can't do this every year. We can't do this every single year. Is Sonny going? Is he not? Hey, look, Sonny's taking the line art card out. No, no, no. Bo Mel has him do that a lot. No, no, no. It means something. No, no, no. He might be moving. No, no, no. He might be staying. At some point as an organization, you got to do exactly that. You got to get organized. You got to get organized. They're going to be overwhelmed today because you've got all the big ballers to shout out our boy LeVar Ball. Just what a disaster that guy was in Las Vegas. You've got all the big market teams trying to get in here, right? The Yanks are definitely in. That was my pick last year. I said Sonny's going to be in pinstripes. I'm going to ride with that today, and you can get him at 16-1 to win the World Series right now, even though they're still leading the division. That's a great price. The Boston Red Sox, wouldn't be surprised if they were in. The Dodgers, I'd imagine they're making some phone calls. Smaller teams like the A's, kicking it around as well. You got to move on from this, do you not?
It depends. I mean, Guru lays out a good case with the stadium plans and all that being revealed, but the stadium wouldn't be built for 2, 3, maybe even 4 years. This is what the A's do. You get close to the deadline, and you go to the highest bidder. And you know Billy Bean has had him on the block, so to speak, for the better part of, 2 years now? So you know about what the value is going to be. And you see the way he's pitched this year, especially his last 10 or 12 starts. He's getting to be lights out again. And so a Yankee team, a Dodger team that has questions in their rotation, they would love to add Sonny. So I think it's time to say farewell.
Back to the Giants and the approaching trade deadline at 1 p.m. today. Butcher Boy, do you see them making a move? And whether or not you say yes or no, should they make a move? Who should it be, basically, is what I'm getting at.
They need to make a lot of moves. There's not one quick fix. I mean, this is a team that has a bloated payroll. They have a lot of old players. If they can get anything back for a Samardzija, a Cueto, throw Span in there, throw Strickland, Contos. I mean, they need to make 7 or 8 moves. This isn't a 1-2 move situation. They need to shed themselves of this payroll that they've got. And they also need to get back some young players. They have no young outfield talent, and they have no young starting pitching. This team is really, really bad right now.
We will keep you posted on everything breaking down throughout the day as it pertains to the MLB trade deadline, which closes at 1 p.m. Pacific today. But drama out of Napa this early. This was supposed to be the team that didn't bring any drama to the table. Well, some surfaced over the weekend, and now it's a matter of how big this snowball gets as it continues to roll down the hill. The Butcher Boy, the Guru, Dan Dibley, Joe Fortenbaugh, back in a flash, 95.7 the game.
Dave Duncan joins us coming up at 7:30. Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 the game.
$1,000 to give away in half an hour at 7 o'clock. $1,000 to give away at 8 o'clock. Bay Bridge Series tickets for tomorrow night's game to give away at 7:20 and 8:20 this morning. Welcome back. Dan Dibley, Daryl the Guru Johnson, the Butcher Boy, Joe Fortenball. We've got you covered until 10 a.m. The great Lorenzo Neal will join us at 8:30. He's in Napa at training camp. He'll be on 12 to 3 today with Papa and Bonte. Speaking of training camp, we get to the big news of the weekend. Surfaced Friday, but has since carried over to today. Starting left tackle Donald Penn, not at camp. Upset with his current contract situation, $5.8 million he is scheduled to make in 2017 as a 34-year-old. It's the final year of a two-year, $11.9 million deal he signed with the Raiders in March of 2016. So we're about a year and a half removed from that deal. Penn wants more money. Well, would you say he's one of the 10 best left tackles in the business? Because right now he's being paid as the 11th highest left tackle in the business. Dibs, we came into this situation talking about how the Raiders have had a tremendous offseason in that we haven't had to listen to anything. We haven't heard about arrests, holdouts, fights, problems. They got everything buttoned down. Lynch is in the fold. Gary and Conley got signed at the end of last week. Good to go. And now this. How big of a surprise was this to hear on Friday?
It's a shock, and it's disappointing because to me it shows the selfishness of this particular player. You're going to wait until right when camp opens and then not show up and hold out. There was no, and sure, there was a sense in the summer that he wanted another deal as Gabe Jackson was getting paid. Derek Carr gets paid. KO, of course, got paid before. And so you look around now and you find yourself with the fourth highest paid offensive lineman in your five-man starting rotation. And I'm sure it's frustrating. But to do this to the team at the last minute and not show up, it's incredibly selfish. And I think it's disappointing. And he's not going to get a three-year deal? He's 34 years old. So what is he looking for here? He's looking, obviously, for more money this year. It's selfish, and it could derail early plans for them to come out strong.
We're going to jump right back into this in a moment, but just an update. Jerry Krasnick on Twitter. The Yankees and A's are, quote, close enough to get over the hump today on a Sonny Gray deal, says a source. It's still going to take some compromise. Hang with us all throughout the day here at 95.7 The Game. We will keep you updated on everything that's taking place in regards to the MLB trade deadline. Guru, the news on Donald Penn, surprising to all of us, but can you see where he's coming from, being the 11th highest paid left tackle in the game? And to Dibs's point, watching a lot of other Raiders get paid this offseason.
Yes, and you point out his age. This is his last time. This is his last hoorah. Go ahead and get your money, Donald. Derek Carr did it. We heard there were reports that he was upset that the deal wasn't done, allegedly. Go ahead and get your money, Penn. You gave up one sack last year. Unfortunately, it was the one that got your quarterback injured for the rest of the season. My point being, no grown man on that Oakland Raider team will speak on another man trying to get their money. Penn is a big part of what you're going to do. You got Super Bowl aspirations. You got a quarterback that's coming off a horrific leg injury, and this guy protects him. Go ahead and give Penn the money. Quit playing chicken. And we're in the new era of sports now where these athletes put their John Hancock on a contract. 12 months later, they're not happy, like spoiled brats. But guess what? It works, and they get paid. Give Penn his money. I believe it will happen within the next 48 hours, and get to Napa and work your butt off, and hopefully the Raiders can compete for a Super Bowl.
Butcher Boy, how big of a distraction could this be to the organization as they get set to embark on a training camp that many are hoping concludes with a spot in the AFC Championship game?
I think this is a huge blow. He's your bookend tackle. We saw this happen with the 49ers. You bring back an experienced offensive line and one guy holds out, Alex Boone, for example. It sabotaged the entire season. I can see the same thing happening for the Raiders. Get this guy into camp. To echo what Guru said, if this guy just shows up and balls out, he's going to get paid. I understand he's at the end of a contract. He's 33 years old, 34 years old. But you got to show up and you got to build this continuity. This team's trying to win a Super Bowl. This is a distraction. There's no other way around it. And I hope it gets done because we all want to see the Raiders start on a high note, especially given how difficult this schedule is.
I will say this, and this isn't going to be a popular sentiment amongst Raider Nation, but it's genius timing. Genius timing. First of all, you really didn't let anyone know this was coming, so you're going to catch people off guard. But this team just parted ways with who last week?
Austin Howard.
Austin Howard. So Marshall Newhouse was going to be your starting right tackle, but Vidal Alexander was going to try to challenge him. And right when you come rolling in the camp, your starting left tackle sees that the depth chart has been weakened. And he says, you know what? I want more money. I'm holding out. So now Newhouse has to move over to the left side, which is complete honesty here. It's too much for him. The left side is not where you want him. He cannot be protecting Derek Carr's backside. So now he's on the left, Alexander's on the right, and any training camp injury to anyone at the position is going to weaken this structure.
You're right, Joe. It just, to me, if I was in that locker room and if I was a guy who's maybe, you know, a backup, or maybe you're TJ Carey and you're grinding just to get a spot on the team, and you look and this guy who's already under contract and he's paid quite handsomely, quite frankly, $5.7 million for the season, and he wants you to rip up his deal so that he can get more money. To do it at this point, it is genius timing from his standpoint, but it's incredibly selfish.
Somebody named Steel Reserve has wants to weigh in on the situation. He's on the phone line. Steel Reserve, thanks for giving us a shout. What do you think about the Donald Penn situation? What should Reggie McKenzie and the Raiders do?
Man, let him hold out, bro. Seriously, the way I love the dude. Don't get me wrong. I like his play. I don't know this dude personally. I love his style. But the way this dude came off on his Twitter account with not wearing no Raider gear when he wanted the contract in the first place, and now you want to act like a fool and not show up? This team's not about that, man. And this is the kind of thing I've been telling my son that worries me going forward. And if I was McKenzie, I'd be like, dude, you're 34, walk, man. I'd rather get the youngsters in, keep building the team, and not pay this cat.
Appreciate the phone call. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on the Donald Penn situation. And you can catch us on social media at 957thegame on Twitter to answer the question, what should the Raiders do regarding Donald Penn's contract situation, as well as the Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet, which is up on the website now at 957thegame.com. Butcher Boy, we're going to do a quick roundtable here at the end. What would you do if you're Reggie McKenzie?
If I was Reggie McKenzie, I would find a way to rework the contract and get him the money. It seems like the Oakland Raiders do have a little bit of money they can play around with. Maybe you defer the payment to next year. But they got to get this guy in. They can't put a rookie at the left tackle spot, and they can't sign some veteran off the streets. You have to protect Derek Carr, and he's the guy. Derek Carr came out and said, it's Super Bowl or bust. So you got to get somebody in there that you trust and that's reliable. You can't have a Pinto on a Porsche line, and that's what this team is.
Donald Penn has created quite a bit of leverage for himself here, Guru. What would you do if you're Reggie McKenzie?
I would get him in camp ASAP, and the Raider brass just goes back to last Christmas Eve when all our hearts dropped when Derek Carr broke his leg, and you know you just invested a lot of money in one Derek Carr. You have no time for shenanigans on your front line, the protection for Derek Carr. So I call, get him in today. And again, it is genius timing. Give this man his money. He deserves it. It's just what it is right now in sports. And he's going to get it, Dibs. He doesn't give a damn what Dan Dibley or 211 Steel Reserves think. He's playing this like chess, and he's going to get checkmate.
I don't know. I mean, if you're going to give him, $10 million this year, you got to find a way, if you are going to pay him, to be able to get out of the contract at the end of this year, because you do have younger tackles who are coming up. It's a little bit too harsh to say just cut him now. I think they're right. You have to pay him, but make it so at the end of this year, then you can get out of the contract.
I mean, how much would you need to give him to make him happy? $10 million is insane. It's insane. Right now, he's scheduled to make 5.8. At the very least, I'd sit down and say, maybe we can work a way to get another 2 in there. But you're heading in the free agency, and the fact that you're pulling this now, I'm going to take 2 off the table.
And
so
Kay,
I could have given you 4.
Here's million.
2. If you want to walk at 34 years of age, fine. You can miss out on $5.8 million this year, and then who's going to sign you next year as a 35-year-old? You might have to get stern with it, because remember, it's about precedent. If the Raiders break on this early, sends a message to every other dude in that locker room, I'm feeling unpaid. I'm not feeling the love. Maybe I'll hold out too. It's genius what he's doing, but you have to be very delicate in how you handle this situation. The Pittsburgh Steelers, for example, would never tolerate this. For years, they've made it a habit to not address these situations. They'll take care of you on the back end, but you've got to take care of your end on the front end. All right, Steph Curry over the weekend. If you missed what went down at Harrison Barnes' wedding, you're not going to want to miss this, because LeBron James bashing is coming up next. Joe, Dibs, Guru, and the Butcher Boy, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
MLB trade deadline day fast approaching. 1 p.m. We will have you covered all throughout the show here on 95.7 The Game. The latest with Sonny Gray, the latest with Johnny Cueto, you name it, we got you covered. Dan Dibley, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Butcher Boy, all sitting in with Joe Fortenbaugh. Great to have you in. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Lo Neal is in Napa. He'll be on from 12 to 3 today with Papa and Bonte. He'll be joining us today at 8:30. Reminders, $1,000 to give away at 7, $1,000 to give away at 8. Tomorrow night, Bay Bridge Series Game 2, tickets to give away at 7:20 and 8:20. Old friend Harrison Barnes got married over the weekend. I don't know where it was. Everyone's looking at me strange. Yeah, the mic broke, so I'm just holding it now.
I like
walking
it.
Around stage, yeah, like Chris Rock. It.
Old school.
You know the difference between... Yeah, so
top
we're going to...
No, keep doing it. You're killing it. This is great.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Next break's only in 40 minutes. This will be interesting.
That's what I was thinking. Why did it have to happen now? If someone's got a monologue they'd like to go on, it's no problem. At Harrison Barnes' wedding, a lot of NBA players. Clay was there giving a speech. Maybe he was part of the wedding party. I'm not really sure. I didn't dig too deep into it, but... The highlight that came out was Steph Curry on the dance floor, mimicking and mocking that video from after the NBA Finals. Do you remember when LeBron James shaved his head and was in the gym? I don't know what the song was they were playing, but he was doing that whole workout video. Steph is mocking it, but more importantly, next to Steph is Kyrie Irving laughing it up and having a ball at LeBron's expense. So, Dibs, right over to you first on this one. This made major waves across the news cycle over the weekend. Major waves. Everyone trying to dissect it. Everyone having fun with it. Is there something to make with this, or is this just a bunch of guys maybe having a couple cocktails and a good time at a wedding?
I'd say both, but certainly the latter is more true, because who among us hasn't been to a wedding where you know 8 or 10 people there and you start getting a little bit loose and you start having fun and maybe you decide to use that opportunity to mock somebody who's not there, something, whether it's, you know, you, Joe, you've been known to stack the shelves on the dance floor. So if we were all at a wedding.
Oh, God, that was Arizona. That was spring training.
Now, I wasn't
we
there.
Need to get into that.
I wasn't at this great event. But, for example, if I was at a wedding with Lo and maybe Butcher Boy's there, Guru, I don't know who our mutual friend would be, but I digest. If we were all there, maybe somebody would mock you by stacking the shelves real quick. And I think it's that same kind of moment. So it's lighthearted. It's obviously very pointed at LeBron, and the fact that Kyrie Irving was there, I think, makes the whole thing make perfect sense.
Let me tell you something about the stacking the shelves. Everyone's got a joke about it, and I'll agree. I can't dance with a damn. But when I started stacking the shelves, Guru, there was no one on the dance floor. When I was done stacking the shelves, the dance floor was packed. Not a coincidence, my friend. I got it off. I got it going off in, the hell were we? Scottsdale.
Nice.
And that was before
I
called
it,
Uber
baby.
On 6 different occasions and then canceled it because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I had too much to drink and I was only half a mile from where I was staying anyway. But that's neither here nor there. Regarding Steph dancing, the LeBron thing, Kyrie having a good time, maybe people are reaching too far on it, right? But I've never seen a guy at the top of his profession in professional sports, Manning, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers in football, Trout, Harper, Kershaw in baseball. The list goes on and on. Dudes really enjoy mocking LeBron James. Like, they really enjoy mocking LeBron James. This dude is getting mocked by NBA players around the league on a regular basis. Now, maybe that's the culture. Maybe they're all just having a good time. But you never saw this happen to Peyton Manning. You never saw this happen to a guy recently like Mike Trout or Bryce Harper. Guys don't do that. Is there a lack of respect for LeBron James?
No, not at all. And the reason it is because LeBron has given them this fodder. LeBron did that video knowing damn well everybody was going to laugh and go crazy. So I almost think LeBron looks at this as a compliment, the fact that Steph is basically saying, I'll send you LeBron. I'll send you cut the dome and do your little dance. So I don't think it's malicious, because if it were, it would be about basketball. It would be about mocking LeBron on the court. It would be about slippage, about LeBron's game slipping. And we all know in this room that is not happening. He's still the king. So I look at this as almost Steph saying, I'm trying to do you one better because I saw you get down on the gram when you did your thing. I don't think it's like that malicious, you know, thing that everybody's making it out to be. It's almost a compliment, man.
Butcher Boy, you agree with Guru or you see it a different way?
I completely disagree. I think LeBron, well, there's two things happening here. there's two different books. There is the LeBron egomaniac book that's being written, and right now he's in the middle of a chapter of a midlife crisis. I truly believe that. He's going to have to burn a season in the middle of his career. His best player, his number two, Kyrie, wants out, and Steph Curry is mocking him. This is hilarious. And then the Steph Curry book, he is having another chapter of the greatest NBA offseason ever. Shoots a 68 up in Tahoe. He's going to do the web.com. He was on HBO Ballers, and now he is making fun of LeBron James right next to the teammate who he just beat at the wedding of Harrison Barnes, who ironically we got rid of to bring in KD, which created the separation. So I just find this absolutely hilarious, and it's another nail in the coffin of LeBron James' midlife crisis.
That was not the only video to go viral over the weekend. Raider fans who were watching the NFL Network this weekend were treated to Marshawn Lynch making an appearance on, I'm not sure which show it was, but the NFL Network has teams of anchors set up at all the camps around the country. Well, Colleen Wolfe and Michael Robinson were anchoring at Raider training camp. Take a listen to the, shall we say, awkward exchange Lynch had with the two anchors over the weekend.
Where the people at?
Big dog.
They're right there.
Man, I'm cooling. What's happening? You can't say that on TV. You can't say that.
Y'all the ones told me to come over here.
You can't curse.
Y'all knew what time it was before I came over here.
I know, and I love you for that. But look, though.
What's good?
Talk about being back in Oakland, man. What's up with it?
What have you been doing with yourself?
Right now. I ain't been doing nothing.
I know, but how do you feel about being back in the city running this football? Look, hey, no. Look, and I just told you, I don't run on the huddle and mess up your huddle and mess up with your job on the field and mess up your job.
Right, you don't.
So I'm trying to ask you a question that people want to know.
But this is different.
What's
the difference? I ain't come over here for nothing. I came over here to holler at my dog and his partner.
I love you, man.
What's up? What's up? How's it feel to be back on the team?
Man, that's cool. You're going to do the normal thing, right? And ask questions about all of it.
What you want to give back to this community, man?
Life.
Explain that.
Explain Mike, it's life, man.
Interesting, the career media trajectory Marshawn Lynch has taken over the last few years, right? From Seattle days where he had no interest in speaking to anyone whatsoever to now all of a sudden he's just breaking up newscasts live from camp to holler at Colleen Wolfe, for an example.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just having a good time, but Michael Robinson didn't seem to like it all that much.
No, it was a little bit awkward. You know, they were hoping he would come over and give him something, some nugget, throw an actual interview. If you're going to come interrupt their thing, how about some content? It's one thing if you come over and, like, do bunny ears or clown real quick and then leave. It's another thing if you come over and interrupt a segment, then give us something. Give us some content. Don't just come over because you want to holler at your boy. I mean, that you could, like, wave from off camera. Guy's trying to do his craft. What if I ran out in the huddle on 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 2 at the Coliseum? Hey, what's up, beast? I just want to holler at my boy, you know, Donald Penn.
Town loves you.
Excuse me, Marshawn. I'm just over here to see KO, you know, my boy. What's up, KO? No, run some material or get off the stage.
Butcher boy, jump in here.
Is Marshawn on the farewell tour or is this the beginning of something good to happen in Oakland? I don't know. I'm very interested because there's a lot of hype, a lot of videos. I don't know what to expect from Marshawn this year, but it is hilarious.
If you were going to be handing out advice to people playing fantasy football, I think here in the Bay Area more than anywhere else, he's going to be overdrafted. And that's natural. That's not, no indictment of Bay Area fantasy players. It's not an indictment of Marshawn Lynch. But if you're in Chicago, you're going to overdraft back in the day Cutler and Forte. If you're in Green Bay, you're probably going to use your number one overall pick on Rodgers. You want your own guys on your team. I get it. But Guru, as you sit here and ponder life with Marshawn Lynch and life with Donald Penn currently holding out, what is your upside for Lynch this season in the manner in which they could use him? Do you see him as a 1,000-yard rusher?
I do see him as a 1,000-yard rusher. They wouldn't even bring Lynch in if they weren't going to utilize him as a just smash-mouth beast. We know he's called the beast. And the fact that the Raiders' Achilles heel is their defense – the best way to win a game now with the Raiders is keep that damn defense on the sideline. And I think we're not going to see Derek Carr just throw it 40 to 50 times. I think we're going to see beast mode behind this dominant offensive line, reminiscent when he was having good years in Seattle, to where Lynch is going to wear down these defenses, and then we'll see Rashard or Washington for the home run. So to answer your question, yes, I think he is facing 1,000 yards, and I want to pull my hair out when I hear people say, oh, Marshawn's just going to touch it 12 to 15 times. If that's your plan of attack, that's wrong.
How many times you want him to touch it?
20 to 25.
Oh, come on. He's one of, come on. He's, you don't have 25 fresh plays for him.
Ooh.
He's not fresh. That's number one. Number two, you want to take the ball out of Derek Carr's hands that often? And that would mean limiting Rashard and Washington as well.
I'm not trying to win every game 48 to 42. My point is, if Carr, we need to come down on those pass attempts to run some clock. The way to run the clock is give the ball to the beast behind that offensive line. It's a match made in heaven, and I think we're going to see Derek Carr and the pass attempts come down, which is all for the betterment of the offense, but you got a beast mode back there. Use them, and we're going to watch. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Hell yeah!
The best thing about having Marshawn Lynch on this roster, the absolute best thing, is the fact that he is going to take all the spotlight and all of the attention away from Jalen Richard. Mm. You're looking at two really explosive, young, talented running backs in Richard and Washington, and no one's talking about them. We're in training camp. It's about beast mode. It's about Penn. It's about the defensive concerns. All the Raiders discussion we've done here on the flagship for the last 3 months, how often have we mentioned Richard and Washington outside of the statement, Lynch is going to be the focal point, and then Richard and Washington will get their touches? No one's talking about those dudes. Do you remember how explosive they were at times last year? I think Beast Mode's the guy that's going to convert on third and one, third and two. You use them on first downs here and there. But it's going to be the younger guys, Dibs, in my opinion, that are the real explosive playmakers. I think Richard ends up having the better statistical season by the end of the year.
And I think you're going to see a lot of them catching the ball out of the backfield, certainly, when you have Richard and Washington. I think Washington's going to end up rushing it more, and you'll see Richard in the pass game a little bit more. And also, a feature that you're going to get this year that we haven't seen in the past is Cordarrelle Patterson in the jet sweep in the reverse game. It's not something they've done a lot of, but you're going to want to have him with his hands on the ball in the run game as well.
Butcher Boy, I'm going to move the last word to you. We're going to get back on the Raiders in a little bit here. But since you're new to the program today, where do you see them heading into the season? Bill Barnwell just released an article on ESPN. Barnwell's one of the best in the business. Five teams poised for regression. Guru and I were talking about it right before the show started. He thinks the Raiders are one of them. Do you agree?
I kind of do, and it's no fault of the Raiders. They were just such overachievers last year. They had a fantastic year. It's only inevitable that they're going to drop a little this year. That doesn't mean they're not going to make the playoffs. I still think that they are a playoff team, but that division is stacked. I think the AFC is a very tough conference to begin with, and that schedule. I mean, just look at those first five or six games for the Raiders. There's a lot of question marks this year. I'm very interested to see, and you guys brought up Marshawn Lynch. One of the things that I'd be looking at, not the stats, I'd be looking at how the safeties play. Your Amari Coopers and your Crabtrees, because I think when you do have Marshawn in the backfield, that's going to change how that defense dictates coverage. And so I think it's going to open things up for the passing game, not necessarily mean that they structure things down when it comes to Carr's passing.
$1,000 to give away and an update. It appears Colin Kaepernick is another step closer to his NFL return. We'll explain that in a minute. Joe, Dibs, Guru, and Butcher Boy, 95.7 The Game.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.